Hello, welcome, and thank you for listening. You are listening to the audio version of a Zoom chat between the Huddersfield Giants Supporters Association and our guests. The videos are also available to HGSA members via our YouTube channel. We hope you enjoy.
Please be aware, this episode may contain explicit language.
Okay, so this is HGSA with Luke Yates, speakers evening, online speakers evening. I don't think any of us have met Luke, so I'll hand over to Luke and let him tell us a bit about himself, and then we can ask some questions after that. Okay, Luke, over to you.
Good. Yeah, lovely to meet you all. Obviously, 2020 has been a tough time, so it's hard to sort of meet people physically, but yeah, I'm an Australian forward from Newcastle, and made my way over into the Super League and played a year at London, a year at Salford with Watto, and then jumped over to Huddersfield for the next couple of years. So really exciting time, and really excited about being at the new club.
How did it come about that you came to this country then, Luke? How you moved to London and everything like that?
My time sort of came up at Newcastle, and I wasn't really sure on what I wanted to do, and like playing rugby wise. And then the opportunity sort of came up at London when they'd come into the Super League. And by coincidence, my brother was on his, and my best friend were on their 2-year visas in living in London. So I just sort of thought when that offer sort of come up, I was just like, that just makes so much sense to be able to go over and, you know, have people there that I know. I'm not sort of moving by myself sort of thing. So I ended up doing a year, end up at London, yeah. So it was really good fun down there. Obviously, didn't go that great for the club, ended up getting relegated, but it was just a great year, great memories down there.
Luke, you've only been here a short while. How does it compare to your last couple of clubs? Obviously, you've got the same coaches as last year, but what's it like down at Huddersfield?
Yeah, the straight comparison to Salford is just the amount of numbers and the money that's into the club. You know, like at Salford, we'd have to do a lot of edge-on-edge sort of play and training sort of stuff because we didn't have the numbers there to field two teams, whereas at Huddersfield, we've got 13v13 with spares on the side. So just like the intensity of the training is able to stay at such a higher level continuously. It's just a lot better. And the gyms and the facilities and stuff like that are a lot better compared to London and Salford. So, yeah, really enjoying it.
Have you been given any resemblance of the team, a starting lineup?
What's that, sorry?
Have you been given any sort of starting lineup for the coming season?
Will I be in the starting lineup? Is that what you asked? I hope so. Watto's given me the 8 shirt, which I thought was a bit weird because I'm not really too much of a front rower, but you sort of take what you can get. So obviously, yeah, really, really happy with getting that number. And just put my best foot forward to be able to make the squad. But yeah, hopefully.
What's your favourite position?
It's same these days, isn't it? The lock and front row is you either take a kickoff carry or you don't. So it's not too different for me. As long as I'm sort of on the park, I'm not too bothered. The middle forward, I played a fair bit of back row when I was playing at London, but I wasn't too keen on that. I just prefer to be in the middle, really.
Right.
I come in here.
Yep.
Yeah. Luke, I'm presuming that it was Ian Watson who persuaded you to join him again at Huddersfield. Is that correct? And what is it about him that made you want to join up with him again?
Yeah, me and Watto, actually, I had an offer to go to Salford before I went to London. So it was just, I was ready to go to Salford. And then they couldn't get rid of a visa player, so I wasn't able to come. So it was sort of just known that I was going to go there the following year. And then so I ended up signing there probably a couple of rounds into the year when I was at London to meet up with Watto. And then as things sort of fell apart there with Watto leaving the club and that, and then the opportunity came up for me to go with him, you know, I think when you have such a good working relationship with someone like Watto, who's obviously a tremendous coach, you know, I think I'd be silly not to jump at the opportunity and feel like I'm not sort of wasting time on a short career, you know, like it's only a 10-15 year career and you don't want to be somewhere under someone you don't want to be with. So yeah, the opportunity came up and I grabbed the two hands.
Was that more to do with Watto being here rather than the club, or was it the club and Watto?
Yeah, the club and Watto, but obviously Watto's these Germ, I actually knew Germ quite well. He coached me at Simon Wolford at Newcastle. So there's a bit of a talk with me and him over the years, and obviously I've seen the club and how good the squad were and how much potential there were. And then, you know, I just didn't really have an opportunity to be able to come. It was just whether with Watto coming over and then obviously him putting the word into the top people over here to be able to sort me out to get over.
We hear lots of people, and like yourself, say what a superb coach Watto is. What is it that he does different to other coaches that makes him superb in your view?
There's a couple of different things he does. I think he's a really good man manager and man motivator. Like he's the type of coach you want to play for. Like he just gets you up and gets you in that right mood and gets the right mentality around the group. I think it breeds success really. And then on the other side of that, he's really technical. So a lot of people, you know, play better under technical coaches, not technical coaches, but I really like the way he breaks down the game and his attacking structures and, you know, the extra video and stuff that he does. You know, he doesn't leave any stone unturned. So I think the combination of them two really puts him at the top end of the coaching.
What about the players around you, Luke? Did you know many of them before you actually joined Huddersfield?
No, not really. I'm really good friends with James Cunningham, who I played with down at London. Jack Cogger, I played with back at Newcastle. Other than that, not didn't really know a great deal of the lads, to be honest. I just sort of seen how hard they worked, and you know they had a lot of 1-2 point losses last year. As you would have known, that you know they're a good group that I think can go very fast. So I think with Watto coming in, being at the top of that, it's going to be a really good year.
What will Jack Cogger? Sorry.
Go on.
What will Jack Cogger give us that we've been missing? What's so different about him? What can he add to the team that we haven't already got?
Yeah, he's a good little half. He really, like, I played with him back at Newcastle, and he played against Paulie, and I think he broke his forearm and broke his ankle in the same game and played through. So like the toughness of the kid to stay on and play busted, you know, just sort of tells you what type of bloke he is. So he's a hard worker. He's a great communicator, and he's got a good kicking game too. So it's not like you'll see this lad taking a short card or putting his hand up to come off. You know, he's a tough young lad, and obviously plenty of footy left in him. He's a couple of years younger than me. So I think he's obviously, I don't know if he'd be starting or not, because you got Caesar, you got Russ and Gaskell there. So there's a lot of good competition for spots, but that's, I think, really good for the squad in health anyway. You know, if people are pushing each other there, so I'm not sure whether he'll start or whether we, you know, in a 14 role or in the side at all. It's the type of headaches that Watto's got, but I think he'll be definitely pushing for a spot. Yeah,
nice headaches to have as well. Yeah,
yeah.
Who's impressed you most at Giants so far?
Who's impressed me the most? I seem like in the forwards, obviously, Bruno's a great competitor. Josh Jones is as strong as they come. And then in the outside backs, I think just skill-wise and, like, athletically, that Jake Wardle just looks like he's going to have a massive season. He's so strong and really fast, really, really, really good athlete. So there's a few lads there. There's not many slouches getting about over there, to be fair.
I was just going to ask you, out of the young lads, mainly the academy product. So who's impressed you most at training?
Academy lads. I'm not too familiar with it. Who's the academy lads and who's not. I think English has come through the academy, hasn't he? Matty English.
Yeah.
He's a little competitor, and you know, I think he's probably the leader of that young boys, and you know, he's a bit of a character as well. So you know, he's not scared to get his hands dirty and start mixing up in the wrestle room and during the D stuff. So I'd say he's probably impressed me the most. But there's a couple other the young forwards in there that look like they're going to be promising young forwards too.
Greg Brown comes with great raps. What is it that's so special about him?
He's just an intense guy. Yeah. I think he's just, everything's 100 mile an hour. Everything he's talking about is the best thing ever. Like, I think he's another one that I think comes along with Watto as the motivator sort of stuff. Like, he's obviously smart and good at what he does with the conditioning and the weight sort of stuff. But I think just the morale that he sort of carries about himself, you know, brings everyone up and everyone wants to, you know, try hard for him. No one's sort of trying to take a shortcut on him. And I think he's that ruthless on everyone that he's ready to call out anyone at the drop of a hat. So you sort of know you're on notice, wouldn't you, training with GB. So there's no mucking about when he's taking the session.
How has training been with the sort of the change in the rules and the sticks again, and it being, you know, quicker, more athletic and all those sort of things? How's that affected the sort of the conditioning and the training regime that they've done for sort of you guys?
Well, we just do a mix between the conditioning blocks. So we'll do like an 8-minute conditioning block into our 8-minute conditioning game, then swap back up that back and through. And then we only just sort of started doing some bit more opposed stuff and any errors, anything like that. We're doing conditioning running on the back of that, or doing six agains once we in these conditioning games. So I think we're pretty well conditioned. We've got a fit squad that's I think it's probably going to play into our hand the way that they've been running us the six again. And I think one of our goals is just to be the fitter team, the fittest team in the comp out there. So we're not the type of team they're going to try and slow the play the ball down, anything like that. We want to keep the things moving and play the ball quick and get teams out on their feet.
Have you been given any targets for the coming season?
Any what, sorry?
Targets.
Targets. Just a couple of like individual ones off Watto, just sort of looking back at my year last year with defence and attack, and just sort of keeping my defence about the same. He's quite happy with my D, and just trying to build my attack up a little bit more in terms of carries wise. So I think he's targeting for me to have, say, I think it's 13 carries a game, and my D isn't about the numbers. It's more about the percentages of miss and made. So keeping that, I think I'm at 96% or something like that. So keeping that above 95 is the goal as well.
So low.
I think it was James Cunningham was saying he likes to play with you because he doesn't have to do a lot of work when he's playing at nine, because you'll do a tackle for him.
Yeah. I find myself in positions and you're just going to do your job, don't you? So it's not like I'm not running out there going, I want to make 50 tackles today. It's just sort of, you're out there doing your job and that ends up what happened. So I think Bruno was typically Michael Lawrence was typically that player for you guys last year. So I think with him and I playing together, it's going to take a bit of workload off each other. So we're looking forward to it.
So you're not knocking Cunningham out of way to get to tackles before him then?
No, definitely not. I'm not there trying to make the most tackles at all. No, I'm just doing my job and filling in where I'm supposed to be. But Cunningham's a great player to play with because he's such a big body in the middle. Like, he's kind of weighs as much as me, you know. I'm playing the front row, and he's at nine, so it's easy to defend with a big body like that in the middle. He's that the attack hasn't got anyone to spot up.
Can you take us back to your childhood, your upbringing, and how you came to be playing rugby, and you know, and how your career progressed?
I grew up a little bit out of Newcastle originally until I was playing soccer or football, as you call it over here. So I was playing that for a couple of years, and then I moved into Newcastle, and sort of the kid up the road was playing rugby league, but he was 2 years older than me. And we'd just be down at the park, and I would just be flogging this kid who thought he was a rugby player. So then mum and dad, I was hopeless at soccer. And they said, why don't you go and play a game, a season at rugby this year? And once I started playing, I just fell in love with it. And then coming through, I signed with the Knights, I think, when I was 15 or 16, and stayed there and progressed through the grades, played 16s, 18s and 20s, state of origin for New South Wales, and kept playing through and ended up going full-time when I was 20. I did a pre-season with under Rick Stone. I've had a fair few coaches, actually, that have come through this club, which is weird. I've been under Stoney, I've been under Simon Wolford, I've been under Brownie, and now I've come here under Watto. So it was like I was always meant to be. I came through and debuted at Newcastle when I was 21 and played 25 games or so like that over the two seasons that I was there playing first grade, and then, yeah, ended up over in London, Salford, and now here.
Is it a lot harder in NRL than Super League?
It's a very different game, and I think I'm not sure, because I was obviously a lot younger then, so it's hard to sort of compare the two, but it's very cutthroat and structured over home. It's like if you're having a bad game, the media's into you, everyone's into you, it's the worst thing in the world. Whereas over here, I think it's a little bit more not chilled out, but you're not in the spotlight as much in that sense. But the actual games, I think over there you typically have a lot more athletic players. So like in the front rows and stuff like that, you have a lot more athletic sort of forwards. Whereas over here, you get them sort of bigger lads like Tony Club and, you know, the big lads like that that aren't really got too much legs about them. But
yeah,
it's hard to sort of compare for me because I was 21, 22 playing over there, and then I've come over here, I'm 24, 25, 26. I'm obviously getting stronger and all that and developing as a rugby player.
That kid from up the road have a make out of himself then?
What's that, sir?
The kid from up the road, did he actually make it in the game? Or...
Oh, no.
you speak.
I think it was just a little confidence boost. That was just in my local West Newcastle team, yeah.
Are you living in Lancashire then, or have you moved over to Yorkshire?
No, I'm living in Ancoats in Manchester City Centre. Yeah, just doing the commute over. I think I want to look at buying a place over Huddersfield Way, eventually, probably at the end of this year, start early next year. So I'll see this lease out here till the end of November and then sort of figure out what I want to do.
There's a bungalow for sale opposite me. The poor man.
Lovely.
Don't take that, whatever you're doing. Never get rid of
it. Jesus Christ, there's a lot better places you can live than online.
You won't be able to afford it anyway, where Trevor lives.
Like Lindley.
Don't see him.
What's wrong with Lindley?
What's wrong with Lindley?
How come you live there, Darren?
I don't live in Lindley.
Thank God.
Not officially, no.
Luke, what other interests have you got outside the game? Any hobbies or interests in anything you fancy doing when you're finished?
I'm pretty massive into my coffee, really. Like, I'm a bit of a caffeine addict. So I've got a bit of an interest there, yeah. Like I played with Mark Flanagan, who has a Pot Kettle Black cafes through Manchester. So I'm pretty into that, and I wouldn't mind having a look. I know Ash Golden's got that one in Leeds, which I haven't got a chance to get over to. But you know that interests me for sure. I'm passionate about getting good coffees, and I got a coffee machine for Christmas, and you know making different coffees, and I'm pretty good on it now. Frothing the milk and all that, mate. Oh, so my missus says. So I'm into that, but I'm not sure. I like what I would like to go into. I really like the boxing, the UFC sort of stuff. So I'm a bit more of a fan of that than, you know, watching rugby of a weekend, to be honest.
You don't want to get involved with UFC, do you?
No, mate. I've got short arms. I get absolutely flogged. I haven't had a fight in my life.
You will do if you move to Huddersfield.
won't take long.
Don't cross Church Street on a Saturday night.
Going back to the coffee, Who makes the best brew? Training centre. Is there anybody who likes to take control and make all brews?
In Manchester, you say?
No, in the training centre. When you're all having a brew at the training centre, I presume you're allowed one.
Oh, we're in the car park for that. We've got the kettle turned out into the car park, and you sort of just got to do your best. You've got to, in between sessions, go get your coffee and heat up your mic. The microwave's faced out the window, so that's sort of your thing. But it's not real. It's not real social, to be honest, which is obviously the times we live in at the moment. But sort of just do your best. I only drink black coffee anyway, so I'm just, there's not much you can do to ruin it. It's just the quality of coffee you put in.
But when you get back into it, make that a competition and keep us informed of who's the best.
Yeah, I think I heard there is a good coffee machine actually in one of the spare rooms. But obviously, since I've been there, it's been these times that we haven't got it out yet.
That won't be for players, though, will it? That'll be for Andy and Robbo and everybody else.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That's an event. That's a future event for us, isn't it? A coffee making competition.
I'm only a couple months into me sort of learning, but I rate myself pretty. I don't know. I'm a consistent probably 7 out of 10 on the coffees, I think.
You're playing Leeds in the near future in a friendly. Are there any special preparation for that one?
Well, to be honest, I don't really know. I've had COVID. I came up positive last week, so I'm not in isolation until Friday. I'm back at training. So
goodbye.
Yeah.
Computer travel, it can't get through.
No. I came up Monday this week. Last week, sorry. So I've been in isolation for a week now. So I've missed a fair bit of training really, but I think with some tests coming up, the boys didn't do a great deal in terms of their weights and stuff like that. So and then the boys are off at the moment until Thursday. So I only missed one more session and then I'm back in.
Oh, how are you feeling then with it? And
yeah.
Have you been okay?
Yeah, knocked me around a little bit. I came home on the Monday because my missus was sick. So I came home and then she was sick and whatever else, and I felt fine, so I thought I better take it for a test and I might as well get one too. And then she came back negative and I came back positive. So it didn't really make too much sense. But after that, I was just really fatigued for the first 2 days or so like that, and then I came good on that and then completely lost my smell and taste, and that's not back as yet. So they reckon they can, that's the worst of it now, so I'm feeling all right. Yeah.
Get away with one of my coffees then if you can't taste.
Yeah, it's like I can only taste if it's sweet or if it's hot, like spicy or bitter. But so you don't actually get any flavour. So you just get the extremes. It's pretty annoying.
So can I ask if there's one player from all that you've played with throughout the rest of your career that you could bring to the club? Who would it be and why?
It would probably have to be Kalyn Ponga, wouldn't it? Obviously, no why, just how skillful and how good his feet, and that he's a young lad that, he's just unreal. Like the things that he does on a rugby field are pretty insane. So I think just the him bringing the feet and the way that he plays is just so skillful and so technical and how he does it. So he'd be definitely the number one, I think, that I'll play with. I'm very grateful to be able to play with him for 10, 15 years' time when he's probably one of the greatest to ever do it once he's finished, I'd say.
Can you put a word in then?
Yeah, I'll do my best. I think he's getting chased down by the All Blacks. I don't think he's in our sort of price range at the moment.
Richard's turned away. I don't think he's interested.
he's pretending he didn't hear that last comment.
He's just checking where his checkbook is. Is it still in the safe?
What are your thoughts on Greg Inglis making a comeback with Bonington? Do you think he's a bit too old or do you think he'll still have it?
Greg Inglis, I played against him on his last year at South, I think it was, and his legs were gone. I think he played against us and I think he had 2 carries in 80 minutes. So I think he was dealing with some mental health sort of stuff, and I think his body was pretty frail at that time. So I don't know. He was obviously as strong as they come. But I'd say if he's motivated and if his body's right, he's gonna be pretty destructive. But you know, it's so much. There's a lot of what if involved in that. So not too sure on how he's gonna go. But I'd say when we're playing him, I'd say we're gonna probably try and work him over a bit, just sort of take some juice out of his attack.
Who's your best friend in the game, Luke? Not just at the club, but at the club as well.
Best friend, it'd be Eddie Batty that's playing at Wakefield that we played with at London together. I don't know why, but we just got on like a house on fire from day one and sort of stuck through. So I still see him as much as I can these days and Zoom again with him and that. So he's probably my best mate over here. And then back home, Josh King, who is a forward that came through the same age. He's at Newcastle as well. So, yeah, they're my two boys that I played with, yeah.
Has Eddie had you on farm yet? Has Eddie working on farm?
Yeah, I've been to the farm. I went shooting over there, actually. I played pigeon shooting for the first time. Apparently I picked it up pretty well, so happy days. I can't wait to get back over that way, actually. It was good fun. It was when it was snowed in, so it was, real good.
And have you picked the lingo up off him?
Oh, you can't. I get him these days, but the first couple of weeks at London, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. He was just so out there with what he was talking about. I just had no idea, just laughing. So yeah,
get good to move on.
Yeah,
just going to make a point about Eddie. He's one of them players that I've always been really impressed with, not just against us, but whenever I've seen him. Is he as good as what he looks? And is it a case of his career's not really gone as high as it should have done?
Oh, I think he's a really good forward. Yeah, like what puts people off is probably his stature and just his body shape. You know, like he's a round sort of nuggety lad. He's not real lean or anything like that, but he has a great motor and his ball playing skills is, I think, one of the best forwards in the league. So I was pushing Watto pretty hard to try and get him to Salford when I was there, actually. So, you know, he's one of them lads that he's a good character and he's a good lad to have around. So I think he'd add value definitely to wherever he ends up. But he did a 3-year deal with Wakefield, which I know he's really, really happy about. And, you know, all the best to him. Yeah, I don't know. I've only known him for the 3 years I've been over this way. But when he was down at London, yeah, he was going really well. I think he showed early on in that Super League season when they came up, you know, how good of a player he was. And I think a lot of other Super League teams started to notice him.
I mean, he was standout in Championship before he went to London, wasn't he? So he was always one of those players that always impressed me. I never understood why none of the big clubs took a chance on him, really.
Yeah, it's probably just the stature, the body shape, I'd say. So, you know, a lot of people have set thoughts on what a front row should look like, what a lock should look like, what a hooker should look like. So I think once people can sort of get through that, and I think wherever he's played at, he's one of them players that they don't really want to lose him. So they're the type of, you know, they take a chance on him and then like, oh, we can't lose Eddie. So like London really wanted to fight to keep him, and, you know, Wakefield have really gained a good player there.
What was David Ward like when you were down at London? To me, Danny got a camera on him, he was smiling.
Yeah.
He wasn't got a care in the world.
Yeah. He's a good lad. He's a really positive sort of guy. He's just the lad. He's a good man motivated. He's not a technical coach at all. He's just a lad that you sort of want to play for and want to win with. You know, he's a bit of a life of the party. I think he would have been quite a loose sort of player when he was playing. Obviously, we went back through his history as he was there when he was trying to tell us not to go for a beer of a weekend, and then he's got sacked from two clubs for drinking. So it was just sort of funny the way that he sort of ran it down there. But yeah, he's a good coach. But yeah, Really, really good fella. Really, really good fella.
A bit like politicians then, do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah. Yeah, this one. It's the Challenge Cup final, obviously, at Wembley. We lived over the road, and he's telling us not to make a scene over there, not to do much, and then come over. And there was the 1885 Cup or whatever it was, and we had a few London boys playing for Sheffield in that game, I think it was. And or whoever they were playing for, and they end up winning. And then it come down to the London Broncos lads, and we're all there having a beer. Cunno was there dancing with two beers. And
I remember seeing that on TV, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like straight away we got it on Monday videos, like, what is this? And then we all just burst out laughing because it would have been the exact same thing as what he would have been doing anyway. So,
besides the obvious, what's it like playing without the fans there? Does it sort of affect like motivation or things happening within the game? For me,
no. Like it doesn't really do. Like the first couple of games were a bit eerie. You're a bit like, what's going on here? Sort of. And obviously, it was when it was just come back with COVID, so you're worried about everyone having COVID and all that type of stuff. But you know, once you start playing, once you're 2 minutes into the game, yeah, it's just another game of rugby, really. So I'm not the type of lad that have to get motivated by fans to be yelling and screaming at me to try and play a game of rugby. I love playing, so it's an easy way to get up and perform, you know, for me. I don't know, that's just me personally. But yeah, it's just the eeriness, I think, of the initial sort of as you're walking out, and I think that's the weirdest part.
Well, other than Ashton Golding, do we have any more players likely to miss the start of the season?
What's that? I'm likely to not to start the season, sorry.
Yeah, through injury or any concerns.
I don't think so. Well, no one's got injured of late, or I haven't been there for a week, but yeah, not that I've heard of. I think Chester has a long-term knee injury, doesn't he? JLK, I'm not sure where he's at with his injury, but no, other than that, well, we haven't had any injuries at training apart from Ashes, yeah. Shame, that really big shame.
The young lad we signed, what's his name, Ashton Bolter.
Yeah, Ollie, yeah.
Yeah, he comes with pretty good raps. I've seen him play a couple of times. What's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's a really skillful player and rapid, really, really fast. He had a couple games with us at Salford last year when we had some injuries. And his footwork and that are at the line. He can move on the change. He can change his body position on the pass sort of thing. It's not many people can do it. He's a very talented sort of player to have in our group. And you'll see his footwork in games to come. He scored a try against KR last year. It was just ridiculous, his footwork. So, yeah, he's got good raps and he's working really hard. So hopefully he's on for a big year.
Good.
I'm just going to ask you, Luke, what I ask everybody else, what's your perception of Huddersfield as a club and as the fans and the players and everything else from, you know, from when you played against us, what has been your perception of us?
Yeah, really, really strong, really dominant sort of fans. I think it's a really hearty sort of team, you know, it's like a working class sort of, like, it sort of reminds me of Newcastle, like the town is the team, like where I'm from back home. So it's obviously, when the team's going well, the town's going well, is what Nathan Brown used to say to us. So, you know, I feel like everyone's very supportive of the club, and you know, the limited time that I've been there, haven't had any contact with fans there at all. But you know, I can see the stuff online and the way people interact with the club, which is always really a positive thing. And everyone's sort of got something good to say about it. There's no negative people bagging people out and or trolling on people. So it's good to see. But as we played you, I think we played you up here. I played up here once when I was with London.
It wasn't a try.
Yeah. It be that.
Now, fortunately, somebody who knew the in-goal judge was on the call, but he's dropped off the call now, and he says it was a try. So we're sticking with not a try.
Yeah. So we got ripped off. So that was a bit for us. Period. That was, yeah. But yeah, the drum and all that they play, you know, it's great to see. And what is it, in May? I think we're getting fans back in, or potentially. So
Yeah,
good to see, and hopefully you can get you guys out there and get mingling. Yeah.
So you like the sound of a cowbell, then, do you?
Yeah, I love it.
What about the team itself, though? When you were preparing for a game, were there any players that you specifically look at and has been major problems for you?
Obviously, Jermaine. Just these yardage carries. He's just so strong. It's just like I've played him against a load of people, and then you hit. You sort of know what someone that size sort of should feel like. And then I remember hitting him, and it was just like, he was just running me back. I was like, what is this guy made of? So Jez is obviously one of the ones. But yeah, Caesar's obviously a great halfback. He's very, very skillful. You've got to sort of keep your eye on him. And then you've got the workers in the middle. Like O'Brien's defense for a 9 is pretty unreal, the way he's contacting all that is. He's obviously got a couple of knocks and bruises all over his face, the way he throws his body into it, which is always good to see. And Bruno in the middle as well. But, across the board, we've got a great squad. So it's like we're not really lacking in any areas at all, which is a good thing.
Rob,
have you seen much of Ricky Luatelli up to now?
Yeah, a fair bit. He's sort of come over a bit late, didn't he? And then, he's a good, really good lad, really real professional. Like I think he's the first guy at training, I think, every day, and he's just constantly doing his prehab sort of stuff, getting his body right, getting in right condition to be able to train well. And then every time he does train, and when we do the contact sort of stuff, that's where he sort of comes into his own because he's so strong coming out of that yardage carry. So. The outside backs seem to be our best carriers with Jermaine, him, Cudjo, Wardle. There's no lack of strong bodies in the outside backs for us.
What do you think we'll win this season?
What do you think? What do we think we'll win? Hopefully everything. Yeah. That's what we're aiming
good,
for.
Good.
Yeah, that's the
I'll
goal.
Keep you to that.
Yeah, that's the goal. So if Wardle can get to Old Trafford with the 19 squad there, and then get to Wembley with the squad we had last year. We've got a miles better squad with what over here, so there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to win some silverware this year.
I've always said that I wouldn't swap any of our players for any in Salford side, and yet it did miracles with Salford side.
Yeah, exactly. And see, we've got With what we had there to be able to achieve what we did, I know we didn't win anything, just to be able to get into position to be able to win something was tremendous. But the actual squad and the depth of the squad that we have over here is, 10 times better. So it's going to be great to see what we can do.
Right.
Look, obviously Salford are quite successful under Watt, as you said, a grand final and a cup final. What is the difference between our club and Salford? What's the major differences you've seen that make you think we could have that? It could have that same impact here.
There was a lot of, I won't name names, but like older heads there in the senior playing group that weren't really happy with how people come in and the change and new people coming in and sort of just bickering and very snidey about things and change and that. So then when I come to Huddersfield, it's just I was so welcomed into the playing group and everyone's so inviting. And obviously, I just got the vibe around Huddersfield that everyone just wants to get better. Everyone just wants to compete and get better, whereas you've got people there who's like, oh, I've got my spot. I don't want to train today. I don't want to do the contact. I don't want to do that. Whereas you don't have that at all over here, which is it's refreshing really for me to be where I was last year to come over to this.
That's good to hear that. Yeah.
What about the supporters respond by buying the season tickets then?
What's that, sorry?
Let's just hope the supporters respond by buying season tickets.
Yeah, well, I think if we start the season the way that I expect us to, I think they'll be, if they don't buy them at the start, they'll be only a couple of rounds until they are.
I mean, it's quite a tough start with sort of Hull and Catalan in terms of sort of gauging where we're at. Are there any sort of particular Super League teams that you think could be dark horses or that might surprise people, perhaps besides ourselves?
I really like our start of the season, to be honest. I love playing against Hull and I love playing against Catalans. They're both big sides that gas out. And, you know, for fit teams, like we're going to be, you know, I think once you get to that 30th minute or the 70th minute in the halves, you know, that's when we can pick these teams off. And so I love playing against them. But in terms of dark horses, well, it's obviously with Wigan and Saints, so it's going to be the two gun teams up there as well. But I don't think there's many other dark horses that are going to have recruited as well as sort of we have and put the work in like we have. I think it's sort of where we're going to definitely be a tough top four team, I predict.
You don't think there's too much pressure being put on us, do you? Because everybody's talking about recruitment and yeah, we have recruited well, but do you think there's too much pressure on us to do well?
No, I don't think so. Pressure's good anyway. Like, it's why wouldn't we want pressure on ourselves? You know, like, we've got a good enough squad there. We're putting the work in. Everyone's working hard. So why wouldn't we want to own that we're going to be a top four side and try and win trophies? That's where we want to be. And, you know, we're wasting our time if that's not where you want to be. We're going to put pressure on ourselves to perform and win things.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like if they don't win anything, don't get in top four, then fans are going to be on your backs and everybody else, media is going to be on your back saying you should have done better. Does that not bother you or affect you?
As they should do. I think with what we have, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't be one of them teams competing for trophies. And if we fall short, we fall short. We pick ourselves up and go again. But that's always going to remain the goal. And, you know, I think the pressure's there because of the type of squad that we have. And, you know, that's what we've got. That's what we're going to play to, you know. We've got to do our best.
So justified pressure then, you'll think?
Yeah, justified pressure. Yeah, with the squad that we've got. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Yeah, cheers. Anybody else got any questions?
Yeah, I've got Luke, is there a player that you'll either look forward to playing against? I don't know whether, well, the physical side of it on one you fear that you're not going to get a good bashing off, or
I love playing Saints, to be honest, because a lot of their forwards, I'm saying I played 13 a lot, so Morgan Oles always seems to win the dream team sort of thing, so I like going against him just to sort of put him in check sort of thing. I don't know, I sort of go after him when I play against him, yeah, to be honest. But yeah, I love playing against St. Helens, to be honest, because they're just a lot of them, like Jack Ashworth was there last year, but when him and Matty Leeds were playing together and they were just flying around trying to flog everyone, it was just such good fun playing against them boys, because they just run dead straight and you can sort of just line them up. So yeah, I love playing against Saints as it comes with the top side, but yeah, love competing against the best, yeah.
So apart from us then, what would you be your prediction for Super League for the grand final winners?
It's hard to go against Saints, isn't it? When I've come through with Sione Matautai, who's gone over there. They got Joel Thompson's come over, a couple of the other NRL forwards. I think they recruited really well. So I'd say they're definitely going to be, you know, everyone's bet for the year, I'd say.
So we'll beat Saints in the final then.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't care who we're playing against, as long as we're there.
Absolutely.
Hopefully it's KR.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, man.
Warrington going to be the nearly team again?
Yeah.
Nowhere near team again.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I didn't play them last year. I think I was suspended for the two games that we played against them. But I'm not sure what it is with them. I think they've just got too many individuals in their team, don't they? So they just never seem to gel together.
But, the coach is already packed up, isn't
it? Yeah. I'm not sure if that would be him or if that would be pressure from them to sort of get rid of him, but either way.
It seems strange that coach has handed his notice in before the season starts.
It's a bit of a weird one.
Doesn't exactly inspire confidence, does it?
No, not at all. But yeah, I'm not too sure what the go is there. I think I'm not sure if the spine really gets along too well to be able to play the shapes that they want to be actually playing.
I think I'll be there, yeah.
They're not going to try and poach Watto, are they?
Who, Warrington?
Yeah.
He won't go there, no way.
He says.
I'm very sure of that.
Right, any more questions?
No, not from right. Me.
We'll wrap that up then. Big thank you to Luke.
Thank you very much, Luke.
Thank you.
We have as good season as everybody's hoping.
Yeah.
And hope you'll be dream team and everything else.
Yeah, thank you. That's the plan.
Thanks for everyone to joining us.
Okay. I'll see you later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our chat and please check out our next episode and find out what the Huddersfield Giants Supporters Association are about on our social media channels.